You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, September 19th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Wedding Supper.
All right, wasn't that good? Amen? All right, let's take our Bible, please, and go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Look at verse 1. And, of course, you know that we traveled to the Bern, Indiana area. Matter of fact, more specifically to that which is Blackford, Indiana, to prepare and to do a wedding for Jonathan and Heather. And I could think of nothing else to be able to talk about today and to speak on than that which is being invited to the wedding, invited to the wedding. And I want us to see something. This is very, very neat in your Bible. Let's go back and look at the verses we read just a moment ago together again. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a wedding," or made, it says, "a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them," the Bible says, "that were bidden unto the wedding, that they," and the Bible says, "and they would come not," or they would not come. And so here's the story. There is a wedding. There is a marriage that is about to take place. And the king wants the people to come. And, of course, the invitations has been prepared. The invitations has been sent out. But sadly, the Bible says that they would not come. On Friday, September the 17th, of course, at 6 p.m., we gathered at the Blackford Baptist Church in Blackford, Indiana. And I was amazed at all the ones that showed up. There was 9 different states that was represented. There was California, Tennessee, Indiana, Florida, Ohio, Illinois, Arizona, Arkansas, Texas, and even the country of Mexico that came and to the wedding. And I was amazed at all the different preachers that was there to be able to honor Jonathan and Heather. And so on the way back, I started to think about that wedding. And so I looked it up as we were driving back and to begin to study for this morning. And I found out that the word wedding is mentioned 7 times in the New Testament. Only 7 times in the entire Bible, and all of those are mentioned in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, it describes the wedding. And I want us to see exactly what's taking place. The Bible says in verse 1 again, in Matthew chapter 22, notice specifically verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them," again, it says, "by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened," it says, "unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." So it's not talking about a wedding that is an event, but it's talking about a relationship. A marriage has been prepared. Well, we know this. We know that there's going to be a day when there is that which is the final uniting of that which is the groom and the bride. We now have the uniting of that which is the groom and the bride when it comes to a person receiving Christ as their Savior. And of course, then they're baptized into the church, which is a picture of the bride of Christ. By the way, when there is the uniting of Jesus Christ and his bride, that is a perfect match. A perfect match. And only God the Father can put that together. But you'll see that here's the bride. The bride, of course, is going to be coming down the aisle, being escorted by that which is the Father. And the Bible talks about how the bride comes into contact with that which is the groom. And it is a perfect unity here. Let me give you some statements. Statement number 1, Jesus compares the wedding to that which is heaven. And by the way, a wedding should be that which is like heaven. Amen. A marriage ought to be that which is like heaven. You know, no marriage ought to have a relationship where there's always the fighting and there's always the fussing and there's always the throwing of the pans and the ducking and the running away. You know, relationships ought to be that which is good one with another. When you walk into somebody's home, it ought to remind you of a little bit of heaven on earth. Ought to be some peace there, if you will. Ought to be some calmness there. It ought to be some gentleness there. Have you ever walked into a home where there wasn't that? Have you ever walked into a home where people are fussing and people are fighting and there's throwing of things? I remember when I was preaching up in Boston, Massachusetts, I remember going out soul winning with my partner. And as we were going out soul winning, this a couple of years ago, and we were walking up to this nice house, about a $300,000 home. And it was really nice and had a nice sidewalk. And we're getting ready to walk up to the steps. And the closer we got to the door, the more pans we heard and the more fussing we heard. And I looked at my partner and I said, "It's your turn to talk." And he said, "No, it's your turn to talk." And I said, "No, I remember now. I remember that we were taking turns and I talked a little while ago." He said, "Yes, but I talked last and it's your turn." I said, "Yes, but I said, I've been at this for over 27 years and you need the experience. So why don't you go ahead and knock?" And he said, "You're a chicken, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I'm not a chicken." And I said, "Okay, I'll go ahead and knock." He said, "Don't worry, preacher, I'm backing you up." And he did. As soon as I knocked, he ran all the way down the sidewalk and he stood out there and he waved and he said, "I'm backing you up." But I knocked on the door, and as soon as I knocked on the door, all the yelling stopped. All the commotion stopped. You know why? Because that's embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing when somebody comes to your house, if you ever do argue at your house. It's embarrassing if somebody comes to your house and they hear that you're arguing inside of the house. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we see. This marriage is compared to that which is heaven. This wedding is compared to that which is heaven. Notice some things that takes place. Statement number two, the invitations are sent. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, "And sent forth his servants to call them," which it says, "that are bidden," it says, "to the wedding, and they would not come." And so the invitations are sent. The invitations are prepared. There's a lot of money that goes into that. There's a lot of energy that goes into that. There's a lot of time that goes into that. There's a lot of involvement that goes into preparing the invitations. An invitation normally is addressed to an individual. And so it's not something that's just massively given out, but yet there's that which is the person is invited. It's a very personable type of thing. Well, that's like salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in the acceptable time, in the day of salvation, and I have succored thee." It says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, God begins to work with individuals, and God sends out the invitation to the individual. I've seen kids when I preach in camps across America, and this young person gets saved, and this young person doesn't get saved, and this young person makes a decision, and this young person doesn't make a decision. Now, wait a minute here. It's almost like the wedding invitations being sent out. Even though they're sent out, a person has to choose whether they're going to receive it or not. A person has to choose whether they're going to be in the attendance of that which is the marriage or not. And so here's what we see. We see that this marriage is compared to that which is heaven. We see that this marriage has invitations. The invitations are sent out. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 3, "And he sent forth his servants," it says, "to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Boy, that's sad. It would be sad for me to marry Jonathan and Heather, and all of a sudden they show up and they send out 200 invitations or 300 invitations, and all of a sudden nobody show up. That would have been discouraging, especially for them. It's discouraging all of a sudden when your wife spends all afternoon cooking and then all of a sudden you don't show up. Discouraging. Discouraging maybe sometimes when grandma prepares a nice meal and all of a sudden somebody doesn't show up. Look, there's a lot of effort that went in here. Here's a lot of effort that's taking place. The marriage is now made ready. The invitations are now addressed. All the preparation has now been done, and yet the invitations has been declined. How sad is it when somebody understands the way of salvation? How sad is it when somebody understands that Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven and they do not accept the invitation? Boy, how sad is it? And by the way, it's not hard. We're not talking about a person has to be baptized in order to go to heaven. We're not talking about a person has to take and keep the seven sacraments in order to go to heaven, or one of the Ten Commandments in order to go to heaven, or join some type of religious institution that's called a church in order to go to heaven. No, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man man cometh to the Father but by me. And so it's very easy for a person to be saved. All they had to do to come to the wedding was to receive the invitation. That's all they had to do. So wait a minute. Statement number one, Jesus compares the wedding to heaven. Statement number two, the invitations are sent. Statement number three, the second invitations are sent. Isn't it neat how God never gives up on us? Isn't it neat how God never gives up on an individual? Notice this in verse 4. The Bible says again. So he's not quitting. There's another invitation. The Bible says again, he sent forth other servants. And so if the first soul winners didn't get it done, the first servants didn't get it done, he said, that's fine. I'll send somebody else by. Well, I remember when I was growing up, and of course, I came from a Catholic background, altar boy for 5 years, and from the age of 13 to the age of 18. And when I received Jesus Christ as Savior, I had a tremendous, overwhelming burden that mom and daddy get saved. I had a tremendous burden that they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. I didn't want them to die and to go to hell. And so I tried to witness to them, and it just didn't seem like that it was going well. And so I went off to the Bible college. I thought, well, I'd still like to see mom and daddy get saved. And so I'd go up to the weight room at our Bible college, and I would pray, especially on Fridays from sometimes 10 o'clock up until 1 o'clock. And I'd pray and ask God earnestly to save mom and daddy. But then I didn't stop there. Every time that I heard that there was an evangelist that was passing through, I'd contact the evangelist and I would say, would you go over and talk to mom and daddy? Would you go over and spend some time with mom and daddy? I contacted Dr. Shelton Smith, and I said, Dr. Smith, I said, would you go by and witness to my parents? And so he said, okay. And he went out to the place, and he tried to talk to my parents, but they were very cold. They were very standoffish. They didn't want to hear the gospel. And so he began to build a friendship. And he would go back week after week and just to see if they needed anything. And just to go by and say, how you doing? Just checking on you. And been thinking about you. And he built that friendship and eventually went back and led my mom to Christ. Now wait a minute. You know what he did? He kept giving that invitation over and over again. He did not stop, but he just kept giving that invitation over and over again. Look, when you have a lost one that's not saved, don't give up on them. Don't be somebody that says, well, I'm going to give them a tract one day, and if they read it and they accept Jesus Christ, that's fine and good. But if they don't, I'm going to walk away because after all, it's all their fault. No, never give up on somebody. You keep talking to them, and you keep praying for them, and you keep encouraging them, and you keep trying to help them. Never stop giving. Never stop giving out that gospel to others around, but also never stop trying to reach those that have refused that gospel. That invitation needs to be given over and over again. Here's what the Lord did. He said, fine, they did not receive the first invitation. It didn't work with those messengers. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a different set of messengers with the same invitation. The wedding's going to be held. The marriage is going to be held in the same place. The marriage supper has already been prepared. It's going to be served in the same place. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to send out an invitation by way of some other servants. Now watch this, if you will. The Bible says again, he sent forth, it says, other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. It says my oxen, and it says my fatlings, the Bible says, watch what it says here, are killed and all things are ready. It says, come. It says, on to the marriage. He said, look, come. It's all ready. You don't have to work for it. Praise God. You don't have to work for salvation. It's already, the dinner has been prepared. Notice verse 5, the Bible says, and they made light of it. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and they make light of it? Have you ever given somebody a gospel tract and they just look at it and shake their head and they make light of it? Have you ever taken and given out a gospel tract and maybe it's at a restaurant, and when they get up and they walk away and they just leave the tract there and they make light of it? Well, the Bible says here is what's taking place. The invitation has been given. By the way, it's already been given once. So if they made light of it to you, they probably already made light of it to somebody else once before. It might not be the first time that they rejected the gospel. Might not be the first time that they walked away from God. Notice that the Bible says here, and they made light of it and went their ways. Now, what are they doing? The Bible says one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And so they're just going about their business. They don't have time for God. They don't have time to receive Christ. They don't have time, but yet here is somebody in charge of the marriage, and he said, look, I'm concerned. He said, I want them to be able to come, and we're talking about those coming as a part of the bride to that which is the groom, and he's saying, I want them to be able to come. I want the guests to be able to come also. I want everybody to come to this woeful event. Notice this in verse 6. The Bible says, and the raiment, it says, now watch what it says here. And it says, and the remnant, or the raiment, the Bible says here, the remnant, it says, took his servant. All right, so here's what's taking place. The servants are now going out, and they're entreating them spitefully. They're going out, and all these people, they're saying, I'm not coming. Now they're treating them spitefully. They're being harsh to them. And the Bible says, and slew them. So here they go out again. This remnant goes out, and they're trying to invite them again. But what takes place is now these people are rejecting them, and they're being mean to them. I remember when I was preaching over in Cambodia, Phnom Penh, and I remember how I was talking to this one young man, and he told me about his daddy that was in a prison camp. And he said, my daddy's been in a prison camp. He's been suffering for years. And I said, why has your daddy been in the prison camp? Because he said he would go out to all these different villages and he would preach the gospel. And he said the People's Red Army that is there and the People's Party, which is a communist party, rose up against him. And they captured him and they put him in prison. And he's still in prison today, Brother Wells. And I said, well, how's he doing? And so he's not doing well. He's got disease and he's dying, but he never regrets serving Jesus Christ. Well, what a testimony. You know, here's some people here. Now, notice here, Jesus is comparing the wedding to that, or the marriage to that, which is heaven. He's given an invitation. He's given a second invitation. Notice in verse 7, the Bible says, and when the king heard, it says, thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army. So it goes out to from sending servants to armies, and it says, destroyed those murderers and burnt their cities. And by the way, listen, a person can reject Jesus Christ and reject Jesus Christ and reject Jesus Christ, but if they never receive Jesus Christ, heaven will never be their gain. There will be that destruction symbolically to that which is taking place right here. There's going to be that destruction. There's going to be that burning. There's going to be that fire that's involved. There's going to be that total loss that's involved to a person that never receives Christ. But notice this in verse 8, the Bible says, and he said unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now, why were they not worthy? Simply because they didn't come. The invitations was there. Can you imagine? All the invitations are filled out. All the invitations has their names on them. And so what he does is he gets his servants, come up here, if you will, saint, and okay, come here, if you will, and you two fellas. And so he goes to his servants and he says, now, here's what I want you to do. Divide those up and say, look, these have got the names. These have got the addresses on it. These are people that I want, give saints some. These are people that's going to come to that which is the wedding. And you see their names, you see their addresses. And by the way, a salvation is a very personal thing. Amen. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I think that salvation is not personal. No, it needs to be a personal decision. And so now all of a sudden the soul winner comes to you and he comes to you with a message. He comes to you with the gospel. He comes to you with a personal invitation for you to respond to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be able to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb one day. And so he sends out his servants and he says, okay, go out and give those invitations out. And so they go and they try to give the invitations out. But there's some that just doesn't respond. There's a couple here that doesn't respond. And so the invitation are still here. And so come up here, fellas. And so the invitations are still here. And the servants go over and come up here, servants, if you will. And the invitations are here. And so they go up to these fellas and try and give it to them. And they say no, and they don't want them. And by the way, nobody can force it on anybody else. Nobody can do that. You know, you get mad at your relatives and say, but they don't want it. And if I keep talking to them, they're going to get mad. But you can send somebody else. You can love them a different way. You can help somebody else to be able to help them and to be able to give them the gospel. You don't have to take those invitations. Were not, go ahead and be seated. Those invitations were not supposed to be here. You've got to take it. No, you've got to come. No, take it. I said, take it, take it, take it. And you can't force it down them. No, it's just a simple deliverance. Look, I've got an invitation. God wants you to have it. God wants to invite you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be held in heaven one day. And here's an invitation. That invitation is only good through Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is to receive it. The Bible says the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You don't have to merit it. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. It's free. So my responsibility is to go up and give them the free gift. But if they don't want it, I can't make them take it. If they don't want to receive it, I can't force it to them. They have to decide if they're going to take it or not. But that invitation, but I don't give up. Okay, so he didn't take my invitation. So here's what I do. I send out somebody else to give it to him. And that servant will go, maybe he'll listen to him. But if he doesn't listen to him, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find another servant, and that servant, I'm going to send that soul winner, that preacher, that individual, I'm going to send. Why? Because I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Your relatives, listen to me, deserve the right to hear about that wonderful place that's called heaven. All right, thank you. Be seated. Watch this, if you will. Statement number one, we'll see this, that Jesus compares that which is the wedding, that which is the marriage, to heaven. Statement number two, he sends out invitations. Statement number three, he sends out a second team of invitations. Statement number four, you'll see that the people dogmatically are rejecting the invitations and punishment comes. So what does God do? Notice it. Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 8, the Bible says, and he saith unto his servants, the wedding is ready. But they, watch it now, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Look what happens in verse 9. He says, go ye therefore into the highways. And watch it now. Go into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. He said, I don't care who it is now. I've given them an opportunity. I've given them a second opportunity. But now, if they don't want to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, don't get discouraged and quit. Soul winner goes out, knocks on the door. Person says, not interested. What do? You don't quit. Person says, well, thank you, but already saved. You just don't quit. Why? Because people need the Lord. You don't get discouraged. Watch what happens here. The Bible says in verse 10, the Bible says, and those servants went out into the highways, watch it now, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. The Bible says, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So God is not peculiar, or if you will, please, particular as to who receives the invitation. Anybody that can come. So he says, look, I'm going to give it to that which is the bad. I'm going to give it to that which is the good. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 11, and when the king came in, it says to see the guest. And so he's interested in seeing the guest himself. Verse 11, and he saw a man which had not on the wedding garment. So there's a man there. It just doesn't fit. You know, there's some people that say they're saved, but you can tell that they just don't fit. Because the wedding garment was symbolic of going another way. He did not have on the wedding garment of salvation, but he had on some other type of garment, which means he was going another way, trying to get in. And there is no other way under heaven, except through Jesus Christ, that a person ought to be able to go to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what happened. Here all of a sudden, Jonathan and Heather started sending out the invitations. They get the names and they get the addresses and of people that lived in that area there in Indiana. And so they would send out the invitation. And I know three people that came up to me that day before the wedding. And they said this. They said, preacher, we got an invitation to the wedding. Now listen to me. Watch this. And they said, I was shocked that we got an invitation to your son's wedding. I was shocked. And I asked one of them, I said, why were you shocked? They said this, we did not know that Jonathan loved us that much. See, they come to a church service and they sit in a church service just like you sit in. But Jonathan recognized them, listen to me, recognized them in a church service where they were, and he sent them an invitation. Now, wait a minute, what was that? That was somebody recognizing somebody else and thought that they were so important in his life that he gave them that personal invitation. And that's exactly the way God does. See, God recognizes you as an individual, and that personal invitation comes, but then he needs people to be able to take those invitations out and to give them. That's where the servants came in. That's where those that came in that gave out those invitations, those servants, and they went out and they did their very best. But when they went out and they did their very best, here's what they did. They did their best, was rejected, so other servants were summoned, and they were sent out. Nobody gave up on anybody else. Why? Because the marriage was so very, very important. The Bible says here in verse 11, and I'm done. The Bible says, and he saw there, it says, a man that was not, watch it, that had not on the wedding garment. So he saw that there was a man there that was not in the apparel of the wedding garment. And let me ask you a question. Is it now that you would be the one that said, preacher, I tell you what, I've been trying to go my own way. You know, this is a four-week campaign. This is a time where we zero in on salvation in the morning time sometimes. And we talk about that, which is receiving Christ as Savior. But that invitation, I never forget, closing illustration. When I was 18 years of age, we had a man that was my dad's best friend that was the priest of our church, St. Bartholomew's Catholic Church. And he came over to our house. And my dad was downstairs. They were playing pool together downstairs. And they were drinking and stuff. And I got to thinking about that. And I thought, you know, here's the priest of my church. And he's downstairs and he's drinking. And I don't know, there's something not right about that. And it bothers me. You know, I thought that maybe quote unquote, the clergy was supposed to be holy. And I thought, well, there's just something not right. And I never will forget, as an 18-year-old boy, I went upstairs and I was kind of lonely that night, and I laid on my bed, and I lived in Maryland, right outside of Hampstead, and I pushed the window up, and the cool breeze was blowing in that evening, and I never will forget that evening as it was a little cool breeze that was coming through, and I looked up into the stars, and I said at that time, I said, God, there's got to be more to it than this. Now, I don't know what it is, but there's got to be more to it than this. I mean, if you're real, you got to show me, because I just can't understand what's going on downstairs, and there's got to be more to it than this. And I never will forget when I went over to that which was the carnival ground, Reese's Carnival Ground in Reese's, Maryland on Saturday night. I never will forget walking around, and there was a young man there that night by the name of David Lee, a completed Jew that walked up to me. And David Lee stopped me, and I don't know how many other people he stopped that night, but I know he stopped me. And David Lee stopped me that night, and he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? And I had never heard that question before, but it kind of lined up with what happened that night when I looked up into the stars. And I said, I don't know that. I said, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. And he said, I didn't ask you if you hope you're going to go to heaven, sir. He said, I ask you a specific question. Do you know you're going to go to heaven? And I said, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. He said, you're evading the question. He said, I didn't ask what you hope. He said, I asked you, do you know you're going to go to heaven? And I said, I do not know that. And he said, the Bible tells how you can know that. Let me show you what the Bible says. He took the Bible and he took a what they called a child evangelism color string, and he began to quote verses off of that and show me verses in the Bible. And David Lee, that night at 8:35, July the 24th, 1979, Reese's Carnival Ground in Maryland, I was an 18-year-old boy, bowed my heart. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I nailed it down forever. I never will forget that following night. Boy, I went home and, preacher, I opened that track. I didn't want to be offensive to my parents. And I opened that track and I got on my knees and I read through that track. And I first when I got home, I was so excited. You know how it is when you get saved? Boy, I got so excited. And I went in, I told mom and dad, I said, boy, I got saved. And Ethan, I was excited about it. Boy, I ran in. I told mom and daddy that I'd received Christ. And I told mama first. And I said, mom, I got saved. And I'm so glad I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. And she said, did you tell your daddy that? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, be careful how you word it, but you better tell your daddy. And I said, okay. And so I went in and I told dad, and I said, dad, tonight I don't understand everything that happened, but I know I'm going to be in heaven one day because I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he said, you did what? And I said, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am so glad I'm going to go to heaven. And he said, you go in your room, and I don't want to hear another thing about this until tomorrow morning. He was mad. He was angry, pointing his finger in my chest. And I never will forget going to my bedroom that night as I opened up that track and I got on my knees and I read through that track over and over again, making sure I understood what David Lee showed me. And I never will forget getting in that bed that night and opening that window again. But there wasn't the wonderment anymore. And there wasn't the question marks anymore. And there wasn't the uncertainty anymore. And I didn't have to lay there saying, God, is there more to it than this? But I laid on my bed that night with tears running out the side of my eyes. And I said, thank God. God, thank you so much for saving me. Thank you so much for giving me eternal salvation, full and free. God, thank you for sending David Lee down my path and showing me how I could be saved, and it is done forever. You know why? Because David Lee came to me that night and he gave me an invitation. He didn't force it down my throat, but he came to me with an invitation. He told me about Jesus Christ, and I bowed my heart that night and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and washed away my sins, saved forever, sealed onto the day of redemption. Listen to me this morning. I'm telling you that invitation that David Lee gave me was from God himself, and I was invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you listening to me? And I took that marriage supper of the Lamb invitation, receiving Christ, and one day I'll be in heaven. Why? Because somebody gave me an invitation. And that invitation is for everyone. Boy, it's so important that we understand that our relatives need to be able to go to that supper, that marriage. We need to understand that our friends need to be able to go there. We need to understand that we need to be the ones that make sure that those invitations are given out over and over and over again. I remember the day that mama got saved, and I remember the day that daddy got saved. I remember my brothers getting saved, and I'm so glad. Mom's in heaven now. Daddy's in heaven now. My brother's still living, but I'm so glad that they received an invitation, and I'm so glad that different people went by and they gave them those invitations. And because of that, one day I'll see them again. It is important that we understand that wedding invitation, that marriage invitation, is for all that would like to receive it.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.